Please help me welcome Kurt L. from Manitoba.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Kirk, and I am an addict.
Hi, Kirk.
It's really a privilege to be here today, and was actually in talking with you on the phone about my trip up here. It was pretty exciting. I could see how inspired you were. And I was feeling kind of down. There's a couple of things going on in my life, and I got off the phone. And I thought, God, that guy's pumped. And do you know this guy?
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. But you know what? That's okay. A couple of things. I actually sobered up in CA. I sobered up in the other fellowship, and but the interesting thing was. It says that one of the original members of CA in Manitoba, who was named Claude, who became a friend of mine, he was actually the very first person who came and see me in the hospital. And we think Claude had been sober about 3 years before. And so he was the first guy that ever 12-stepped me. And the very first meeting that I ever went to was a Cocaine Anonymous meeting. But for whatever reason, I ended up, first 5 years in sobriety, ended up in AA. And was pretty intensely involved in service. And you know, it's interesting that you should mention about people, you know, coming into CA and then, you know, leaving. And whereas I kind of came in where I had a lot of experience working in service through AA, and then came into CA. And man, I just loved it because, you know, I'd really found a home. Because even though I was an alcoholic, and I think probably, you know, I was addicted to anything, but certainly I started my journey on alcohol, but my story involved cocaine and other drugs, heroin, opiates, all of it. I mean, and I could never really talk about that when I was in AA, and I think one of the great things about CA is that it allows me to talk about my journey and not have to edit it. Because, you know, I really did have to edit it in those early days. So we started our journey, I guess, in Manitoba, not being involved in it early, although I did know some of the early people. It really started in October of 1992. And there was, I think, four members that started the group. There was, I think, Mike, Kel, Claude, and Chris. And of those, I believe that only Claude is still around. And Claude works with the Addictions Foundation. So we're actually in the same field. I'm an addictions counselor at Tamarack, which is a second stage treatment facility, and Claude works with the Addictions Foundation. And I guess very quickly, and it was really that same year, and I'm not sure how quickly it happened, but they actually got a convention going for whatever reason. So it was actually 1992 when they had their first convention. And it was actually started, and I think, Al, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you've also got a good brain for history, but Al's a member of the Kateri group, and I believe that particular group that's where they had the first convention. They had it in the basement, and it was just a kind of, a half-day affair or something like that, and it was out of that basement that our current convention grew to where it now exists. In early 93, we started, the Freedom Group was started, and there was a couple of members there, and they started on Selkirk Avenue in kind of a shared space with AA. There wasn't a lot of cash, obviously. And then in 93, what was to be known as the Kateri Group, that was actually started, and that was a guy by the name of David H. And Freedom moved that year, and they went from Selkirk to Florin Par, where they exist today. And then my first group that I was a member of was the End of the Line group. And they were started on Home Street, and they moved to Edmonton Street. They moved to a monastery back in 2005. There was another group that was started, I think, about 5 years ago. It was called the Ounce of Courage group. And they started in this, this was an interesting group. It started in an old warehouse. And this thing was leaking, and the It reminded me a bit of the Crack Shack when I was in Edmonton. Only bigger. And I had the pleasure of visiting that place. That was a fabulous meeting there, but a great spot. So that was kind of where it started, and then it moved to its current premises about a year and a half later. It's in a church on River Avenue, and it's really, really actually grown as a group. We even had a group that was started out on the Pegasus Reserve, and that was kind of represented off and on for about 3 or 4 years, and I still kind of maintain contact with the Pegasus Reserve, and there's still a couple addicts out there, and they try and get a meeting together every so often, but they actually, for about a 3-year period, they actually attempted to make area, so they would actually come to area meetings at least 2 or 3 times a year. We had a group called the Thunderbird Group, and in Manitoba, the Aboriginal Association set up this huge round building, and it was called the Thunderbird House, and it was actually a fabulous building. And so they started a group there, and but eventually they moved because there was some controversy. Can you imagine that controversy? I love Sylvie when she was talking about the excitement of that those first days, the pounding on the desk, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that because we had that at our areas too. But anyway, they moved to the other side of the tracks, just under down the street on it was actually a pretty testy section of town, and on Jarvis Avenue, and that actually was around for about 3 or 4 years. It just closed up this past year. In 2001, Manitoba became an area. So we became an official area, and it was I don't know. Even Percy could help me with this. What year was it with the when Spencer? Remember Spencer?
2001.
Yeah. So it would have been 2001, and that was actually when we kind of got a hold of the trustee down in at World, and so Spencer actually made a trip up to Manitoba and spoke at our convention that year. So that was the first time I ever met really anybody from outside of Canada that was associated with Cocaine Anonymous. We've had a couple of other groups come and go. We had a Lost and Found Big Book Study Group, and that closed after a year. 2009, my home group started. It was the Paradise Men's Group. Now, it wasn't Paradise because it was just men. It just happened that name actually came about as a fact that we used to always meet at this restaurant. It was called the Paradise Italian Restaurant. It was a fabulous restaurant. So we said, well, why don't we just call it the Paradise Group? So that's kind of how that came about. And as a result of us starting our men's group, we encouraged the women to start their group, and they did start a group. I guess about 4 to 6 months later, they started a group called the Serenity Women's Big Group. So the men's group was Paradise, and women was Serenity. So I'm not sure again what that means, but... And then in 2010, we hosted, we had some of our people go out to Vancouver to visit the convention out there, and we were encouraged, I think Percy and Kelly and everybody talked about maybe Manitoba hosting a Canadian convention. So we did a couple of years ago, and in 2010 was our was the first time that we did that. We're not a big area. There's like 7 groups. So membership isn't huge right now. We're about 100, I think, total for the whole province. Lots of prospects, but not a lot of members. There's a total of 14 meetings each week. So again, there's a meeting every night. So, I mean, there's never a question of, well, there's not a meeting to go to. There's always at least a meeting to go to. So those 14 meetings pretty much cover the week. About 9 years ago, speaking of a little bit of controversy, I remember I was started to get involved in area, and man, I'd never seen anything like this. This was, there was guys that were... I couldn't believe what was happening. They were threatening people. They were calling people thieves. People were jumping over the tables and trying to throttle each other. And like, this was like a regular area meeting. And I thought, oh my God, what's going on here? And anyway, what we did was we sort of talked about trying to, and really there wasn't a lot of unity back then. And what we did was we put together a committee of which I was a part of, and really what we did was is we consulted, got members from each group, and what we did was is we actually rewrote our constitution and our bylaws and all the regulations. And basically, we created a Manitoba format of how we were going to run our meetings, how things work, the rules of order, how we would do things. And we involved everybody in it. And actually, that was a fabulous idea, because what happened was is not only did we have our own book, our area manual, it really did bring people together, and things were really good for quite a few years. It's really only in the last couple of years that there's kind of been a sense of apathy that's kind of crept in. And so the area meetings haven't been really that well attended. We do have an H&I committee, and I was involved in that for a number of years. And again, that seems to be flourishing quite well. We certainly do meetings in the jails and the remand centers. All the treatment centers are covered. We have our detox areas covered. The hospitals are covered, the treatment centers like the AFM, Pritchard House, and so on. So we do a good job of covering. I mean, when I looked at the H&I list for Southern Ontario, I went, holy smokes, that's a big list. I mean, a lot of people, you know. But somehow, with not a huge participation, it all gets covered. You know, there's always the members that are going to do it. So I believe there's a spirit is there, and you know, coming here this weekend was really something. In talking to Cameron, I was thinking, you know, maybe I can come away with some ideas that we can take back to Manitoba, because really that's what it's about. We're, you know, Cocaine Anonymous is we're all in the. I like to think of us as all being on the same team. We're all fighting the same foe, you know, and you know what. We don't know everything. And so coming here today, I'm hoping that we can take back some ideas, and we already have. You know, from what I've heard, some of the excitement I've heard in people's voices, some of the groups that we've heard, and in participating in the meeting groups and listening to some of the formats, and I'm sure we're going to learn more as the weekend goes on. It's going to allow Al and I to take back some ideas to Manitoba, and hopefully, you know, rejuvenate them and us. Because it is hard sometimes. You've been around for a while, things get easy, and you know, you get caught up in your own sort of life, the life that you've been given because of Cocaine Anonymous, and so it's easy to get apathetic. So if I could say anything, I'd say I'm pretty grateful to be a member of Cocaine Anonymous today, and proud to be able to come up here to visit this convention. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.